mentioned yesterday the Sefer Or HaYosher. We mentioned that there are Shubas of the Noda Yehuda and Shagas Arya. The Noda Yehuda is the same thing as Rav Moshe, that distinction between mitzvahs on one hand and giving Yiddish on the other. Some sort of the same idea. Someone showed me, Rabbi Bleich, Shalita has a contemporaries about this, some of that, so they have some Maramakarmas. So there's an article here by Bach, the Prophet of from Baltimore, which he quoted from Moshe. He doesn't say Rav Moshe. Why did he just quote from another view in the Chassam Sefer? They already said it. And so Rav Moshe didn't know what happened all this far. He just, he said it in his own Chiddush on his own, but they came to the same conclusion apparently. That's just number one. That's already printed in the Or HaYosher, which is also in this pack at the end. Long Shulah of the Nevi Yehuda, which I tell you is much more involved with other things than the actual halacha. And the Shagas Arye, in fact, is also quoted in here. When they reprinted what he wrote in the Or HaYosher, it says this is reprinted from the Or HaYosher. We left out the politics. The Sefer Or HaYosher, only the case and the tshuva. We left out all the things about the Divrei HaMariva. There's no reason to write that all over again. It's a waste of money. It's also first. They left out the fun part. Because if you want that, you get the Or HaYosher. Okay, this is what I wanted to bring to your attention as far as Shaita. Now, I was discussing with someone who was a graduate student about the definitions. Retarded, the different, apparently there's different madrigas in retarded. I don't know, anyone here a psychology major or something like that? Nothing? So this apparently is mildly retarded, and there's moderately retarded, and then there's severely retarded and profoundly retarded, if I have it exactly right. So mildly retarded is someone who can reach the level of a sixth grader. It's around 12 years old, right? Sixth grader. So it could be that would even if you would hold, that you require the average intelligence of a 12-year-old. That's total. Perhaps you haven't. We thought you need that level. We asked the question before, if you require the average intelligence of a 12-year-old, say for girls, so how is it possible? Half the girls are not bar mitzvah, and half the boys are not bar mitzvah, they fall beneath the average. So someone was quoting me, well, maybe it's enough to reach the average by the goyim. And the yidel, of course, a little bit, So, I don't know. That helps a little bit, but still, it still bothers me that someone who's less than that level should be not a bar das. Bothers me. Okay, anyway. Then is what's called. So that's a ben das, according to us for sure. And even if those are required for 12 or 13 year olds on average, maybe it's still good enough. Maybe then is what they call moderately, which is approximately the level of a second grader, which is just about an 8 year old, which is mamash. We spoke about that. We saw that once you're at a level of 8 year old putus, average of putus, so you'd be considered to be in the category of ben das as well. That's borderline ben das. At least misafek from Shlomo Zalman. So that's how I was right. At least misafek, you have to treat these people, and this is a lot of the Down syndromes that are in this category. You have to treat them at least misafek because of ben das, because they may have enough das, which is the equivalent of putos. Putos is like between 6 and 10. If you churfe, it's going to take the average of, as we said, 8, for argument's sake. So it could be if they can reach the level of an 8-year-old intelligence, which is, that might they may have a status of a ben das. At least misafek, they have it in a ben das, but it's a borderline because obviously all these labels are also a range. So what happens if he's in a level between second grade and sixth grade? What's he? So I get the impression that would be considered moderate. In other words, sixth and up, second and up. Not an expert in the classification. I'm sure they're not so precise anyway. Then is what they call nebuch severely retarded. That's such a much lower level, a level they can just barely manage. I mean, they can get dressed themselves, or the bathroom themselves. They don't know much more than that. I asked, well, can they hold on to things? That's what's called Tzorovi, Vinotlo, Egos, Tzorovi, Zorko, Egos, Vinotlo. So, yes, so no. So, again, it's again borderline. It could be it's a borderline, but we said it's between a Pesi and a Shota. We're not sure what kind of thing they have. It's a big difference. We spoke before, the government, just the talk to the Kol HaMitzvahs, or the Din, that he's Chayav HaMitzvah, which he has Shaychas to. That's again, and then the profoundly the ones who will hardly ever make it, and they don't survive, and they just can't. That's the most serious of all the levels. So, kids, there are the classifications in the world out there, and it relates somewhat to our halachic classifications. Oh. Then, there's a very serious exodus in the same mimer, Rabbi Bax, the front of the Racha, had some serious shilas of people who were manic depressive, or one case, in the case which we spoke about, Samia Biyodo, if you're going to take medicine, they're okay. That's exactly what he speaks about here in this article. That he speaks about is someone who has regular depression, it's called a Mora Shchor. He really pointed out that the point of Chaim of Risk, is quoted by the Chazon Yecheskel, Mora Shchor is the what the Gemara means when it says, someone who sleeps in the cemetery or walks around at night. That's another way of saying Mora Shchor. So the question, of course, what becomes of this Mora Shchor without those simon? It's not depressed, you know, Mora Shchor is melancholy. Melancholia, you see it in the Pesukim. Melancholia. So what kind of status does that have, melancholia? Without the, you know, the specific symptoms which are found. So maybe it depends upon the old child we had. Whether these specific symptoms are required, the Rabbeinu Simcha Mishapiro, or, no, the Rambam, that says even other things. But of course, according to Rav Moshe, in the Yehuda, some service version of the Rambam, other things is only relevant to Hilchos Eidus, and would not be relevant to Hilchos Gittin V'Kiddushin and other areas of Halacha. So it becomes a very big problem. And so this is a discussion which apparently is here in the Aruch HaShulchan and the Pesachet Shuv. Let me look at the Pesachet Shuv first. Here we go. Here we go. Sit with Gimel and Aruch HaShulchan. Bali HaMorosh HaShchora. Shein Olsen Klum Dvarim Shal Shigon. They don't do anything crazy. Rak Yoshin Biatzus. They sit there saying, I don't know if you've seen this. I've seen it. They don't do anything crazy. It's never depressed. Ruchokim Mechaburas HaNoshim. They try not to socialize. Vein Bevakshin Lechol. They're not interested in even eating so much. Ushin Olsen Lechol Lechol Ochlin. They eat a little bit. They have a skill in the dab. They don't talk. They don't initiate a conversation. They enter a little bit. Nothing crazy. Just depressed. This is mice of the chloyom. What's it in? There are hundreds of, I mean, I don't know, certainly thousands of frumi yidden in this category. Yeshli siyashev. We should think about it. Im dinam kashotim lav. Ulefi asvara. Ein bazeh siman ishtus. Ela machlas ha'atzvus bilvad. V'toli b'riyas enei ha'bezdin l'hoven darko v'alilosov. So he says, he thinks he's not considered to be in the category of a shot. He thinks so, not sure. And he quotes a Rashi v'chagid av-gimel. Cholei ha'olches mitov doga. And he's not considered to be a shot. V'ayin pischit shuvo. This is Aruch HaShulchan, Kuf Kafalaf Yudgim. So that's Bitzvah Lashmo Adibre Chachamim. Let's leave an eye in for a minute in the Pesachet Shuvah. This is again a Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph. In Sifkat Beis, he talks a bit about the definition of what is a shot. Very, very long. I can't read the whole thing. Read a little bit. Talk about eat him. Right, sometimes yes, sometimes no. That's the first part. From the second column, it is as follows. A guy, Nachum and Agag, right, and he was sick for a year and he got better. But he didn't want to get out of bed. He refused to get out of bed. And then he went to work. Didn't want to do anything. wasn't clear completely. Sometimes they wouldn't even want to talk. They want to give him food to eat. This is exactly what we're talking about. Then he agreed to give a get to his wife. They gave a get. He answered everything properly. Do you want to give a get? Yes. Were you forced to give a get? No. You know, he went through the whole seder. I showed you that one day. I walked in with that whole... He answered everything normally. Okay? Never had any simon shota. But mara shchora. Melancholy, right? He says, what do you do with this mara shchora business? He says, this is a pisch tshuva. And we can be makel. He's mitzayt with a bunch of shaylas. One, he says, they asked the various questions by the seder again. He got it all right. So that's always a good bedikin. You have the bedikin in the Gemara. This is also a good bedikin. Then you have Rabbi Vigder and the Mordechai and the Marik and the Rav Simcha Mishapayra, only Simon and Perkam and the Chagiga. Also had in the previous years, they had this Ora Yashar and the Frank with the mind going apostle to get. But everybody else said, no, the get is kosher. I gave you a bunch of other sources for this. And he quotes Rashi in the Chagiga, the Cholim are a Shchor, lo Yechashim b'chlal Shotem. It's not. He even quoted the Rambam, if you do a Maisa Shtus, but not in this kind of a situation. Therefore, the bottom line is, he thinks that Mikir Adin, a depressed person, is not considered to be in the category of a Shotem. I, Abchaim of Risk, said he is. Chaim is referring to a case where he did those particular mice and he slept in the cemetery when he walked around in the middle of the night. But the average person who's depressed does not do these things. So he would not be considered to be in the category of a shayt. I don't know. I guess he means it's so severe that he does these things which are just beyond. I guess that's what we have to say. Perhaps. These are some of the things I found since yesterday in the I want to talk to you, which I didn't discuss yesterday, but the definition of a shota. Now, as far as a cheirish is concerned, so once again, I saw Rabbi Bleich has a piece in it, and it's called Contemporary Halakhic Problems, Volume 2. Some very interesting things there about a shota. Number one, it's a machlokas of Prichodesh and Rav Moshe, in the case in which a person can hear only through a hearing aid. I told you that it's good, no problem, right? Because he hears, what's the difference how he hears? He hears. So here's what it is with a hearing aid. What's the difference? So what I said is the Mefurosh and the Pre-Chadosh. The Pre-Chadosh says, in here in our Sim, it's a Kuf Chaf Aleph. I think it's a Vav. That if he's able to hear what he calls here, Chatzotros. I'm not sure what Chatzotros mean.
The horns
that they used to have, some kind of amplifiers, right? Amplifiers. He says only hears through chatzotros. Is lomik v'cherish? Of course, the question becomes: how about our hearing aids? They're more than those plain. Those are just amplifiers with horns. Here, this is even electric impulses. Lanias daiti. It's still considered to be shemim. Rav Moshe zichron lebracha holds not that way. And chelak gimel simulam and gimel evanes is quoted saying not that way. You hear through a hearing aid. It's not considered to be proper shemim. The Rav Post can hold like a pichadosh and even extend it, I think, to our hearing aids of his man hazeh. That's number one. And number two, the question is, how much speech must you have? If you speak, remember, you're not considered to be in the category of a cheresh, right? Medaba v'ena shemeya is not a cheresh. So once again, a bit of a dispute. If you could speak what's called svas alogim, ayin lamed gimel means a weak speech, weak, very weak. Some people say it's not called speech. I have to say it is called speech. Sorry, Rabbi Bleich, I don't understand what he's also coming from. Also, they talk about, well, Sfas HaLogan demonstrates intelligence more than Ksiva. So therefore, even though we hold Ksiva is loud Kadiva, this counts. To me, out of the facts are true. I don't think it shows as much intelligence as Ksiva. But none of it, so what? Ksiva is loud Kadiva because it's not considered to be Ksiva. It's only Ksiva, it's not Diva. That's a kach, gozmer Torah, whether we are loch, whatever source it is. If it's only a situation of tziva, doesn't count. But if it's an actual dibur, even though it's a shvacha dibur, it's still a dibur. And I think Rov Poskim can hold that way. If you can say anything, as long as you make yourself understood, even though it's a guttural kind of a sound. You have anyone here? Anyone have to deal with some of these the Hebrews for the deaf? They have a lot of these people, the kids can talk, but it's a very, it's a weak speech. But it is a speech. They can make them understood to some extent. And he is Dagdi. To make us understood to some extent, and you know about his intelligence through his writing and through other situations, he's Mamash and Ben Das. And it's also like Halach Moshe Messina, we call it that Acherish, Sheinish Shomei Bedaber, is Mufka. He's not Mufka. He speaks, even if it's a Shvacha speech. Yes?
When we're saying that Moshe says that it's not, what kind of
what kind of hearing aids are you talking about? Hearing aid? I didn't go into the details, but hearing aid, regular hearing aid? You thought that didn't count? Thought it didn't count? But that's another important issue. Now, yes, there is the following situation. Do you remember we said two pshatim here in the Pasha Pshat and the Gemara, and the machlokas between Rashbag and Tanakama, and Ayin Aleph and Aleph? Right? We had a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi said it really talking about Ksiva Kedibu. And Nafkamina only for, not only for a Cheresh, which is odd Nafkamina over here. Nafkamina for someone who commands his wife, even if she's healthy, to write a get. Does that count or not? That was Yushalmi to say, Tobah Hotali. We spoke about this when we went to Gemili. Right? So the question is, the Machlokas is the Ksiva to Kedibu, or Ksiva is not Kedibu. If this being the case, we already pointed out a couple days ago, the Chorus comes out against the Marashal. Against the Marashal. And the Pashtus is that the reason why Rav Shimon Gamliel says that a Cheresh Meikara is no good, is because he said we can't write. So the Gemara said over here like this. Look at the Lashon Gemara 9 hour from an hour. Oh, Rav Shimon Gamliel. Hamed v'amurim b'Cheresh Meikara. So the Marashal assumed, oh, in both cases he's kosev. In the Cheresh Meikara he's kosev, and in the Sefer he's kosev. Pikeach ben Ischarish. And the difference is whether he's considered a Ben Das or not. And how can he write if he has no intelligence? It must be a case where he was able to hear until Bar Mitzvah. Right? And we spoke about that, the Marashal. But according to Yushalmi, it's much the other way around. I mentioned this already a couple of days ago. The shayla is with the ksivas kedibur or not, and the pashtus says Rashbag goes the ksiva is kedibur, and the only reason why Rashbag would say cheresh meikara is not a bendas because it means he can't write, but precisely because he can't write, precisely. Oh. That's what the machlokas is ksiva kedibur. I found a Tosefta in Trumas, Perek Aleph Aloch Aleph. There's a machlokas Rashbag and Tanakama by. Whether someone could be Torah, in the case of Pikeach, Viniskarish. Not a word is mentioned there about Ksiva. The word Ksiva doesn't appear in the Tosefta. From there I got the impression that the Marashal is right. Against Yerushalmi. Well, it could be two different versions. Maybe it's called the Bavli. That there's no machlok with the Ksiva Kadiba. Because then it should have mentioned the word Ksiva in the Tosefta and Trumas. No. The Shal is Pikeach, Viniskarish. What kind of status does he have? What's the machlok? So the Marashal explains it. The machlokas is the din of cheresh being pokal pi aloch moshe misina from a ben das only if he was a cheresh from the beginning? Well, no. But if he was a ben das originally and he became a cheresh, he still retained up he did the din of gavra of cheresh not chal upon him. Once you're a ben das, you retain the level of ben das. But if you were, when you were considered a cheresh up he did, if you were born a cheresh or you became a cheresh before you turned by mitzvah, so you never achieved the status of a ben das officially, halachically. Well, no, you're always considered to be in the category of a cheresh. Oh. And indeed, we pass like kind of kama of pashtus. You're always considered to be in the category of a cheresh. Why is this relevant? Because I saw that Rabbi Blyth Shalita in his presentation quotes a Rambam. A Rambam in Hilchos, a Masechta Trumas in Pirush Mishnayos. And he made a whole thing with the Rambam, and I want to tell you, it's not so simple. In the beginning of Trumas, Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, the Rambam. Can I have a Gemara Brochus? I'll read you from the original. I'm going to have printed in the regular Shas. Thank you very much. So you can look at Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, in Trumas. This Rambam is printed in our regular Shas. Vida, kikshe nolad ba'adam acharshus, acharshe shama, oshin ishtatev, acharshe hoya medaber, mutalo litro. So Rabbi Leib was working with an assumption that nolad ba'adam acharshus means after a while he has an accident and can no longer hear or speak. So, before the Rambam, that a person can no longer hear or speak, afal pikein, he's considered a ben das. This demonstrates that any other individual who was born without hearing or speaking, and you know as a ben das in his writing, should also be considered a ben das according to the Rambam. Shtei tshuvas bedavar. Number one, the comparison is not accurate. As we saw it here in our sugya, Rashbag makes a distinction between born, having had a status of ben das and never having had it. So therefore, this Rambam is going according to Shimon Gamliel, and we don't pass him like him. Moreover, I saw, let me look it up in the Kapach, which is more Meduyuk, and look what I found. He says, Hareze, lo yitro. Not yitro, but lo yitro. But he throws in another word, lechatchila. What's lechatchila? So here's the real answer. I looked up in the Rambam in the Chasrumah, says Rabbi Kapach tells you to do. Perek dalet alecha dalet. No, it's all wrong. Referring to the case of a person who only lost one of his faculties. Look at that, it's on Meduyuk. Even in this version, it's Meduyuk. Nischarish adam achash ha'yashomea. Oh! Nelam achash ha'yashomea medaber. So he's still ben das, 100% ben das. It's nothing to do with our discussion at all. So the two gear souls, yitrum lechatchila, or lo yitrum lechatchila. For up to me, you know what I would say? I'm going to put two things together which don't really belong together. Depends what faculty he lost. If he lost the faculty of speech, lo yitrum lechatchila, because he can't make a bracha. But if he can't hear, why not do a lechatchila? So the answer is Rabbi Kivega raises this question. Is the Bartanu a copy of the Rambam? But that's wrong. So the answer is, the Gemara Bracha says that you need mashmiya la'ozno lechatchila. You know, for the sugar, famous sugar, from Megillah also. That's the reason. The reason why he should be talking lechatchila, because if he can't speak, he can't make a bracha at all. And if he can't speak and can't hear, it's not mashmiya la'ozno. Nothing to do at all with our discussion of Eino Shemena Medabas. I'm sorry, Black's quotation, lechatchila, nothing to do with the issue at hand. Nothing to do whatsoever, lechatchila. Okay, that's another ha'ora on this issue. Yeah. With this, I think we have concluded what I wanted to add on the very definition of Cheresh Rishota and go back to our reverie of Lumdus, which we started with the Tzos. Now, the Tzos is already out of the Nebuch, the depths of discussing who is a Shota, who is a Cheresh, and he wants to know much more Lumdus Shaila, which is, what's the din if someone appoints a Shaliach to write a get, and then Nebuch, he loses his mind? What status does it have? So it's certainly no good. And before Shul Gemara, what level is no good? Level is no good. Midaraisa, no good. Midarabanan, and why? So we passion is the Ram Chokas, the Rambam, and the Tur. The Rambam says it's no good. Midarabanan, the puzzle, and the Tur says it's no good. Midaraisa. And so Shul Gemara concurs. Comes along the Tzos. So he quotes the Raya from the Beis Shmuel, the Pri Chodesh, from our Gemara, and Ayin Ayin from Midbeis. Excuse me, Ayin of Midbeis. Talks about someone who was never geschochten, or never was crucified, or is cut up. So we assume that he's considered avdata tzilusa until proven otherwise. How do you know? Wishful thinking. If on a level of daraisa you don't need it, then good, it's Rama. But if you hold the tour, the shulta giborim, a level of daraisa you need it, the mishalech be a ben das. How can they let it get to be written when the husband is never dying away? It could be he lost his clarity. That's the riot they bring. So I already mentioned yesterday we have two possible answers. We'll come to it, I hope later today. But first, Rabbi Osai, we have the issue here of the Ktsos's Mahalach. The Ktsos said that you're so godel. It's true, there's a Tosfos that says that if the husband dies, he ought to become a shelter, that the shlichus is bottled. There's a riot from Rashi in two places that it's not that way. We got a Rashi from the third place that it is that way, so we're stuck. Let's see the Rashi that the Ktsos portion of Tesem at Beis. That's the main Rashi that he talks about. Tesem at Beis, Rashi de Masko lo yitnu. That's the one that the Ktsos talks about as a proof. This is so. Let's take a look together. Tesem at Beis. What does it say in Rashi? middle, towards the end of the narrow lines. La chamisa. What's the case? The person said, "Do get leishti shtashichas al yavdi umeis." La chamisa. Zok Rashi. Vafil rabbanon the army shichrui rabbanon skusulo. The zok alanish lo b'fanav. Nei the lahaki zok abeid lo matzi the mahader. Miyamod rabbanon the chol kamad lo matzi the liyadei lo havi mishuchor. This is a famous riv shita. Then he ends. He came at the miss kodim. Sulo have a shichrui a shichrui. Why? Should have said the shliach is batal. That's not what he says. What does he say? The nafkalei reshusim inay v'chalei reshus yarshin. The Tos makes a big deal out of this Rashi. The shliach is not batal. The only reason why it's no good after death is because why? Because he's no longer an eved. He's no longer a slave. With the death of the master, he goes free. That's why it's no good. But other than that, it would have been good. Apparently, the shliach is not batal. So he writes. No, you have a steer to the Rashi in that chav chesem and aleph. This is the farish. The what? If the person wants to give a get, so you can give it when his chazak is alive, we're not afraid that he died, and the shlichus is batal. See, the shlichus is batal. What's going on over here? Steer and Rashi. I'll tell you my answer. I have an answer. My answer is not really my own completely. It really comes from Gedolei Olam. The Gedolei Olam. The sources, we want to look it up, was in the Eben Ha'azel. And Hilchos Avodim Perik Vav Aloch Aleph. It's a very long piece. In the middle of that, you can see, among other things, he has there. It's like this. Abosa. It's a brilliant chat. Well, the reason that Rashi here in that Testament base didn't say that the Shlichus is Bato is precisely because we're talking here about Shtar Shichur, with Zachar La'adam Shalom B'fonav. So you and I, and everybody else, except for Rashi the Rif, would say, hey, this case, he's Meshuchar already. The minute the Zohar got it for the, on his behalf, he's already Meshuchar. Rashi Yerov has a Chiddush Neuro, that he's only meant to give it to him, that Ene Yochel Lagzabo, but it's not Chal yet. How can that be? It's tied to Misasu. We spoke about this already a long time ago. So the Poshut the Pshat, even the Lumbda, the Poshut the Balabat the Pshat, he made a Tanai. He made a Tanai. That he said, you know, this, remember the Sukkot, he said the Lashon Tain, he said the Lashon Zechi, and all these intricacies. So what it really means is, that if he said Zechi, it's immediate, completely. No and ifs or buts. If it's Tain, it's with a big if. What's the big if? That the Shtar Shichur must be handed over to the Eved. And at that point in time, and not before, we say that the Eved is Meshuchur. I can't back out from now. I made an understanding that I can no longer back out from now, but it's a t'nai that it has to go to. If it doesn't go to him, then he's never going to be Meshuchra. If he is Meshuchra, maybe he's going to work with Mafreya, maybe not, but that's a different issue. Pasha should work with Mafreya, but it's a t'nai that it has to actually go to him. No. So let me ask you a question. If it works with Mafreya, and he just wants to give it to him, so give it to him after death. So what? That's like the Tzos discussion of the question. So by Eidim v'chassum of Zachalo. If Eidim v'chassum of Zachalo is the Tzos, what's the din? That you should be able to give a Shtar Shichur, a Shtar Matonim, and it should be Chal at the moment that they sign it, with a condition that it has to be given over to the ultimate recipient later on. No, says the Tzos, if you gave it to him later on, I don't care if the Odin is dead, if the giver of the Matonim is dead, who cares? It's a Tanai V'alva, nothing to do. Who cares if he's alive or dead? That's the Tzos' assumption. Oh, says that knows what's wrong. That's exactly what Rashi's saying. It's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because the condition is a lum de shavart. The condition is you have to give a quote shtar shichur shtar matana to the ultimate recipient. Says the Eben Ezra. That's what Rashi is saying over here. Rashi is saying you can no longer fulfill your condition of giving a shtar shichur to the Eved. A shtar shichur implies, the term shtar shichur implies, he's until now he's a slave, now he's becoming free. No! Kfar poka reshuse. So kfar poka reshuse, it's not, he doesn't need any shichur anymore. He was already meshuchrar with the death of the master, at least as far as the master is concerned. He doesn't need a shtar shichur from this master anymore. They're giving over the piece of paper, not giving him a shtar shichur, giving him a paper with the same words, but lost its status as the shtar shichur. And therefore, you haven't fulfilled the condition, and therefore, the shichur is not valid. That's what Rashi means. That's what Rashi means. The reason why Rashi didn't say the shlichus is bottled is because here you couldn't say that. Why couldn't you say it? Because you already did the shlichus. He gave the get to the zochet. The zochet was kona finished. Done. Only one thing remains. A tanai. You could have made it tonight if it snows next Thursday. No. Who cares if the guy's dead or not dead? As long as it's a retroactive get, it should be chal. The terrace over here is only one thing wrong. There's not just an external tonight, and it's conditioned that 6 months from now it should be 90 degrees, whatever he said. No. He makes the condition that the shtar shikr must be delivered to the recipient's hand. And it was, the paper was delivered, but it lost its status of shtar shikr because Paka Rishuse doesn't need a shikr from this master. The master's dead. That's why you can't fulfill the Tanai. That's why it's no good. So he didn't say the shlichus is bottled, it's not bottled. The shlichus is fulfilled when the piece of paper was given in the lifetime of the master to the recipient on behalf of the Eved, to the Zocher. Yes? The master or the Eved?
Of the master.
The master may have the Yerushim, okay.
So in that case, you need the Shtar Shechur.
Yeah, but it's not a Shtar Shechur from him. I guess that's what I have to say. It's a Shtar Shechur. It has to be a Shtar Shechur from this guy. I don't want to get into it, but some other Mepharshim talk about this riff business as being a distinction between Kinyan Mammon and Kinyan Isser, which gets a little bit complicated, and we're not learning from Avodim this time around. That's what we'll get. We spend a couple of months on Sugis of Avodim. Not now. So that's a more lumdish way to explain the riff. I told you I'm saying to be a little more balabatish. But to say, it's not a shtar shikha from this person, because this person is dead. It's Ms. Yarshin, it's a different shmooz. It's not considered a fulfillment of his condition. That's what we can say. Yes?
Yeah, so what you're explaining is the case on
Chavches. Get! G-E-T! Chavches, that was a get. A get is no zochin, it's a chol. So a get, Rashi saying the Pashup Shad. The Pashup Shad is that once the man died, the shlichus is bottled. That's the whole point. The Ktos is wrong. The shlichus is bottled when the man dies. Rashi Tav Tess Faket. No. Rashi is referring to a case of Shikur where he said tank is schi to the extent that the Maisa, which is done on the husband's behalf, on the Adon's behalf, rather, is completed before while he's still alive. And the handing over of the piece of paper is only a condition of the Alma. But Rashi is saying the condition Alma has to give a quote, Shtar Shichur, and once he dies, he loses the status of Shtar Shichur, as Evan Uzzel explains, and therefore the condition is not satisfied. That's what Rashi is driving at. Malik? Yeah. Right. Well, that's an effective difference, right? Because it's not the whole story, but that's the most basic difference. Because Rashi is referring to a unique case of a shtar shichur, where the fidaita of Rashi and the Rif is a condition has to be given over to the Eved ultimately. Till that point, we can't just consider it to be mishufra. Okay, that's a condition. So we say for that, but the zchiyah origin was done on the part by the zochah. So the action of the other is already completed. Now, the only reason why the condition cannot be fulfilled, it's not labeled as a shtar shikr. Why? Because he's no longer belonging to the other.
How does the
Rashi Yud Gimel, which
she used to say, Rashi
Yud Gimel
says that
the Rashi Yud Gimel. Exactly.
That's the case of how much
Shudek
the
Rashi Yud Gimel. Well, he's really talking primarily on shtar shikr, no? Let's read the Rashi. Let's read the Rashi Yud Gimel. What's in Gimel? Look, if you mutter the other, Hamisle Meshacher Apokalir Shusei. The same thing. I'm talking about Get. See, that's the last line of Rashi in the Mishnah. Yeah. Again, talk about Shifra. Yes?
Why, the Shifra is really bugged on though, so why is the Shalef able to go be the one to get the Shifra?
That's a Tanai B'Alma. In other words, I gave you an example.
As long as it gets there.
It gets there. That's not to be to a Shalef. It snows tomorrow. I had been happy about that. He died. How can it snow tomorrow? It snows tomorrow. It's just an external condition. Now. So the Tzos tries to bring a raya from the Gemara on the Chav Tesamid base. Let's take a look at that Gemara, which is our transition Gemara, the 6th and 7th paragraph, we called it. Chav Tesamid base. Let's take a look. Chav Tesamid base. What does the Gemara say? It's Ravashi and Marab Ravashi. On Ravashi, and Mace, end of the narrow lines. In Mace, Risha, Bat Lukula. The man's in Shliach 1, to make Shliach 2, make Shliach 3, all the down to Shalukim, to give the get to the wife. The first one dies, the second one is bubble. So his son, Mab Rav Ashi, nah, that's wrong. It's my father said when he was a youngster. Why? Elamit meis baal midi mashashi ispuhu. Kuli mikok baal man kasu mikok de baal kasu. Isil baal isil kulu. That's the balas of the klulu. So Ma'abra Rashi argues on his father Ravashi, or so Ravashi never really meant it, he said it only as a young man. Doesn't count. Says it so. This. It's an assumption. Rabosai. Taz and others say the first shliach can cancel the second shliach. It's quoted in the Taz and Simon Kufma. The first shliach can cancel the second shliach. Nonetheless, says it tells, if the first shliach dies, the second one can give the get. So what do you see? That the second shliach stands in the place of the first, even if the first one died. So too, the shliach can sit in the place of the Baal, even if the Baal died. The only reason why he can't do it is because Pokah HaIshus, as he's based on his Rashi Naftes, and when it comes to a shelter, it's going to work on the level of the Raisa. So like Tiksos, and then Sugan Chavtes on the base. So the Achronim jump on him very stark. The Eben Ozel and others say it's absolutely wrong. To the contrary, the Gemara says that the Kamim Mikulot Mikoach Baal Kaasu. The only reason why the first one can cancel the second one is because the first one is the link of the Shliach number two to the Baal. But ultimately, Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso, Kemoso of whom? The second Shliach is like the Baal. The first is only a conduit, only an intermediary. Alright, it's an important enough intermediary, he can cancel. But if he died, it's of no consequence whatsoever. He did his thing, he appointed the number two, and he doesn't have to be around. That's the reason. But it's nothing at all to do with our case, where the husband himself dies. To the contrary, the Evan also, this Gemara is a Akash against itself. Why? Akash against itself. What's Ravashi's, in his youth, what did he think, Ravashi, in his youth? What did he think? Come on. What did he think, Ravashi? Remember, as Rav Soloveitchik would say, Ravashi, before he changed his mind, was also a big Talmud Chacham. You say about the Rambam. Rambam changed his mind. Rambam before Chazal was also the Rambam. So, what did Ravashi say originally in his youth? What did he say? In Meis Rishon Bat Lukulav, Fret Evan also, according to Tzos, makes absolutely no sense. None. Why? Because if Meis Rishon, is there still a marriage relationship between husband and wife? Absolutely. Shliach died. The quantity tells that the only chesaron is what? That what? That the ishus is paka. So how can Rav Ashi think even in his youth that if a man makes shliach A or makes shliach B and shliach A dies and shliach B is bottle, how can it be? Death is irrelevant. Only the ishus is relevant and the ishus of the husband and wife is still there. So the hasadar of the havamin, if you will, is a kasha against the tzos. Tremendous kasha. Yeah.
Where is how can you have a first step and back to the second one?
Since he's the intermediary, although he's the kamosa of the Baal, he's a chiddush in the Gemara, and the intermediary can sever the link. But it's still from the Baal. Okay. That's what he says. Now hold on a minute. Remember we said, I had a big machlokes with the get pushed. He said that if the Baal becomes, he's right to the Rambam, was like this, if the Baal becomes a shoita, if you're going to say that the shlichus is bottled, so it's impossible to regenerate by itself. There's no spontaneous regeneration. And therefore, when the Gemara is over here, lo tzarach l'mlukei be, you don't have to ask him a second time, proof positive, says the Kepashut, that on the level of Daraisa, the shlichus never bottled. So I said to you, I think it's ridiculous. I love the shlich is bottled. The shlich is kemos of the mishaleach. So because man the mishalech is a shaita, the shliach has the status of a shaita, they can't do it. Whereas if the mishalech gains back his intelligence, so the shliach automatically is considered kepikeach. I don't understand where the get pashut coming from. I thought it was completely off. Till I found that his formulation goes back, way back to the Tosfos HaRosh. Yes, to the sea. The Tosfos HaRosh uses a similar formulation that the shliach is bottom. I was a little bit disappointed to see this, but I thought my instincts were right. You can't say that, but what can I do? I gotta tell the truth. The Tosfos HaRosh says over here on Ayin Amud Beis. Okay, on Ayin Amud Beis, listen to this. He says he has a kasha. We just asked to get Pashut's kasha. He asks, "Ul sheyishtaf heich kosvin kosvin kevash yashot ben tayim." From his batla shlichus v'nidche,
And the entire shlichus is bottom is derived from a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin, interesting Gemara. A Gemara in Sanhedrin. What does the Gemara say in Sanhedrin? In carbon chashav ledichui, pernik maradim, and the Yishami compares get to carbon. What does it mean over there? If a person became a shaita, he sanctified a carbon, became a shaita, so you can't bring a kapara for a shaita, so the carbon is nitche. The whole discussion in the sugya, famous sugya, balachayim nidochim, balachayim ainu nidochim, the whole discussion. You see, there's a dichui. So here too, there should be a big problem. Says the Rosh Chiddush Neira. Yesh Lomar, the Shabbos comparison is when Wally's still Ochzor Kodaikis. Dichu for carbon, dichu for get. But after you get better, for carbon, we say, Enechos of Venera, if you're old Balachayim, you dochim. When you get, lave dichu. Listen to this line. Listen to the line. Doesn't say to get Pashat Terek. That's only the Rabbanim. No, it's no line. It's the Chiddush Neira. The Kevin, the Adinon, Date, the Nichalei, Havi ki ilu ata oseu shaliach. Wow. The Tosfos Rashi is saying, since we know that he wanted to appoint him, it's as if he reappointed him now. That's using your imagination. He never reappointed him now. What's going on over here? But, you know, this is the Rosh, I will say. This is the Rosh. This is the Rosh. Wow. 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 That's what he says. So what I told you yesterday, I thought I was right, but I have to tell you that the Tosfos of Rosh is against me. Is against me. If I'm right, however, which I, you know, that I still think maybe you're right. If I'm right, that the real answer to this question of the Tosfos of Rosh is not that the reappointment, or not that the Rabbanim get punished. There's a third answer, my answer. Namely, there's no cancellation of the shliach as such. The only thing is that he's given a status, since his mishalech was given a new halachic status, a chal Hashem shayta, which the case may be, then the shayta, the shliach, as smart as he is restricted, is limited to do things that that person of that status can do. And he's given that status in effect when he's operating on behalf of this individual. So I'm wondering if I'm right, if that's true, what if a person is appoint a shliach and becomes a pesi. Doesn't become a shirt. It becomes a pesi. What's a pesi? A pesi is someone who doesn't understand too much. He's lost his, as we said before. He doesn't have the intelligence. Of an 8-year-old. We said becomes a pesi. It could be. I'm sorry to say this. This could happen. Beginnings of Alzheimer's. Sometimes it depends on different manifestations. It sort of slows down. It slows down, and he's not able to really, you know, doesn't function as it did before, but he still, you know, takes care of his basic needs. But no difference between a $10 bill and Monopoly money. Right? So it'll be that we call that to be the category of a pessy. Nebuch. So the question will be, if someone appointed a shliach and then he contracted Alzheimer's, Rashman al-Islam, at least I'm talking about this, I have a case, I think I told you about it. If someone had the beginnings of Alzheimer's and it was a question of what to do, and I have a tshuva, which I'm going to show you as we get to the sugya later on, what the best thing to do is, very complicated. And the question would be, if he authorized the giving of the get, but it wasn't given yet, and then could it be given later on, when he already was only on the level of a pesi. So the point we're saying now, maybe you should argue it's good. Maybe you should argue it's good. Why? Why? Because we're saying over here that a pesi is not, we said yesterday, a pesi is not a chal Hashem, a chayr, a shuit, a kuk, you know, lochem Moshe b'Sinai. Pesi just, whatever he doesn't understand, he can't do. But he already appointed somebody to do it for him. So now there's no change in his chal Hashem garba, though he's not intelligent enough to know what the condition is all about. Maybe the shaliach can go on and do something on his behalf. That's what I spoke to you about yesterday. Maybe that ayinim at beis, when the person is meguyod or mitzolov or shachat v'shnayim, I wanted to suggest that maybe that's the same thing.
He's not a shaita. He doesn't manifest anything of the psychosis that we're speaking about. No, it's just Nebuch keeps getting weaker and weaker, weaker in his body and weaker in his head, and he doesn't understand exactly what's going on. But maybe the Shem Shot does not call upon him. Right? Maybe it's just considered like someone who is Yashem. I'll ask you, someone goes to a deep sleep. It gets a little bit complicated. In other words, someone is asleep, so he'll wake up. Someone says, well, if he won't wake up, I'm not even 100% sure. Someone, Khalil, goes to a coma. Hold on. So what kind of status does he have? Someone's comatose, Rahman al-Islam. So there we could argue, based on what we said before, that since he's so shvach, maybe he would have the status of a shota, but maybe not. Maybe when is a person a shota, we said before, when he never develops the intelligence, that's the lashon of Reb Chaim Brisker. His body developed, and his head remained with the head of a kohen, right? So maybe that's only in that case where it remained that way. There never was anything. But if the person was a full-fledged, intelligent individual, and then he never lapses into a state of not being clear, are we guaranteed as a status of a shelter? I have to look again in the lashon. Look again in the lashon of the Tosfos here, on Ayin Amud Beis. Look again in the lashon. Let's spend some time on it. We're not going to finish it today. But look again in the lashon.
And the Alzheimer's is just memory loss.
All kinds of a lot of losses. Every case is different, but a lot of losses. What's the lashon of Tosfos? Lo yada Rabbeinu Yitzchak and Masa Yechashav Dato Tzilusa. The lack of the main mother but cool bishas to see this again. The imkel have a parach mid the Rabbi Yochanan. They checked them out. He was intelligent when the get was given. The terrace is, they didn't check when the get was given. If they didn't check when the get was given, how can you give the get? All right. Nebuch, he had the shchita or the tzliva or the giyud, and he was able to say with full intelligence, with a reason, give the get to my wife. Okay? He ramas, they give the get. So at the time that he ordered the get to be given, he was clearly had enough intelligence. They did the bedikas, as the case may be, whatever. They know he's intelligent. But now he's gradually losing his intelligence. Gradually, never because of a serious condition. B'shemes atayim, actually, yivada, shenitra for daito, yechoshev, daita tzilusa. So what does that mean, daita tzilusa? In other words, when the Gemara talks about daita tzilusa, what does the Gemara say? What does it mean? When? What's the Gemara mean? When is that the tzilusa? Exactly at what point in time? When? At the time of the tzibur, it actually says, at that moment in time, he knew what's going on. He knew what's going on. Right? Later on we don't know. Right? In other words, this kasha, it's a question whether this kasha, we have a question, Miyam Rav Yochanan Hochi, it's a Shalom Rishonim. Is the question only against Rav Yochanan, or is the question against Rish Lakish too? Because the Pashas in the Gemara is a question against everybody. Because it is questioning his intelligence at the time of the Remiza. That's the Mashmoz of the Gemara's answer. Right? Well, it's not a kasha, somebody don't have the gears to Rav Yochanan Hochi. Yes, I'm stam a kasha. If that's the case, we have no source anywhere in Shas Mefurish what state he has to have when the Nesina takes place. Maybe if the Nesina takes place, he's mamish out of it. As long as he's alive and breathing, maybe the get should be a valid get. Maybe he's not considered to be in the status of a shota, even if he's never nitrifadaito in this kind of circumstance. So when Tais Lashon, Shema Shivodash nitrifadaito yichashiv nata silusa, he seems to be saying, he's considered daita silusa even after he's started to get much weaker and he didn't do any bedik at that point, until we know for a fact nitrifadaito. But if he knew for a fact nitrifadaito as a result of his shchita, giyur, and tzliva, we would say Nebuch is the status of a shota at that point in time. That's what Smashmos of Tosus. I'm not so sure if anyone agrees with that. Yes, this could be the answer to the question. Because Tosus is very optimistic. That's what the Beis Shmuel talks about. How can he be so optimistic? Must be talking to Shabbat the Rabbanim. And he's talking to Shabbat the Rais. How can he be so optimistic? So he could possibly answer. But no. The discussion in the Sugya is originally the Shas Remiza. And the answer is not the solution of Shas Remiza. What later on? Doesn't matter. If later, as long as he's breathing. If later on, even if as long as he's breathing, even if he doesn't think straight, that's not called a shota. That's called like a kund of a yoshen, kund of a pesi. There's no chal shem shota, chal, in someone who becomes weak in body and mind because of a shchita, giyut, sliva, or any kind of other illness. It's not a quote-unquote psychotic illness. Maybe if you talk about Alzheimer's, it might be different. That's a, it's the brain. But Stam HaSik is a cancer, Rachman HaSlan, an advanced cancer. Rachman HaSlan. They start, you know, going in and out. I mean, the whole body becomes terribly weak. That's a shoita. I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way. It's considered that guy a shoita. Although Tosis Mashal, that is a shoita at that point in time. Could we have the Rishonim and Poskim argue with this Tosis? I don't know if I could look a little more for you. Help me out. So that's what I thought. Yeah.
At
the time of the Siva,
you definitely
got to
be...
Siva, yes. Siva, yes. I'm talking about afterwards.
Afterwards, he'd be like a pastor or something else. So that's...
Could be.
Because that's not...
Could be. Take a look, for example, in the Chasdei David, in the back of the Tosefta. Give a look. It's Tosefta Perikei Alach Aleph. It's called the Chasdei David. Page 28 of my edition. Alright? So it says in the Tosefta, Hey Aleph, Aleph Reisa. Hey, it's Salav and Mugriyad, Veramas, that they'll get the Yishto, Kosu and Osu, and they'll close my church for Neshama. Hey, as long as he's Neshama, as long as he's breathing, you give the get. Sounds like no matter how bad he is, you know, when a person never dies from crucifixion or from being cut up, he's not going to be clear in his head till his last breath. The likelihood he's going to loses his clarity. So look at the Chasdei David. He says as follows. Sorry. He says as follows. Umashma. Here. Umashma de Gambadika and Atsarech. Vechainir Medivya Rambam. Perek Beis, v'chein kosav harashba, how much Perek Beis, halacha yud gimel, v'chein kosav harashba, I couldn't find the rashba yet, v'chidushav, u'deloka ran u'moram, means the Ramam, v'sof simakuf kavalev, I ain't pre-chadosh. So the pre-chadosh, look at the pre-chadosh. The pre-chadosh says, the reason you don't need a bedika is we assume lo mitra fadaito. That doesn't help me. That doesn't make me a happy man. Because that means that if we know for a fact that the Nitra for Daita, then it would have been no good. I want to say a different pshat in the Rajba, and a different pshat in the Tosefta, and a different pshat in the Rambam and the Mechaber against the Ramah. It doesn't matter Nitra for Daita. He's just not given a status of a Shaita when he gets weaker and weaker and weaker because of his situation. That's what I thought. So I looked, someone could find it to be fair, which I would appreciate. But, I don't know. If you look on the Rush, he sounds like he has this suffering itself. The Rush in Siman Aleph. In Perek Misha Alf, so Siman Alf. I hate it's Perek Vav, of course. Siman Alf. And it's entitled to Rush a little bit more by Rikus. We'll read it from here, where it says, So Omer Ri, the Tzarek Lizar, Beshkiva Rash, Ativa, Litan Get, Shete, Gerati, Meshavas, Lelach, Beshas, Ksiva, Shem Dechol, Epanam, Meshadadal, Beturev, Salaf, Veitim Chol, and Veitim Shoter. That's one sir. Oh Shema! I feel the Rabbi Yochanan Kiyoshen Dami. Should the Lord Mechusam Maise, the Ruggle should disyashiv Daitel Memele Batol Lizor. In other words, since he could snap back, maybe he's going to give him the status of a Yoshen. Also, it's like that happened. What if he can't snap back? Because he's never going to snap back. I want to suggest, even in that case, perhaps he may have a status of a Yashin in effect, because there's no Simon Ishtus. I don't know. I don't understand, frankly, the idea of Tisyashev Daito being such a Gvaldik Svara. And Itim Chol and Itim Shal is also Ragal Tisyashev Daito. And we still consider it to be a Shaita. Bishat Shtusa. Why is Ragal Tisyashev Daito an automatic guarantee and not considered to be a Shaita? I don't understand the Rush. I was in a different Svara. Namely, he's no Simon is Shota. That's all. I'm Aben Mashan Ostomo. So Yoshin is also Aben Mashan. I give someone here. Watch this to me. And he goes to sleep. So he goes to sleep. It falls down. And someone can take it. That's what I was wondering. That's what I was wondering. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know. Yeah.
To he's not going to just fall asleep and control himself and not fall asleep.
Uh-huh.
If you tell him to watch his thing, he'll stay awake.
Maybe. Maybe you're right. Maybe. Oh. Narabos. The Rambam Shita that says only Nogim and Rabbanon. So we had so far the Prichadash and the Ksos both said the same Yisod. Since he appointed someone else instead, so on the level of the Raisa, it doesn't matter, he freaks out. So it doesn't matter. The Shtir can go on with his business. The only thing with the Ksos went beyond the Prichadash is he said even if he died, he can go on his way. Prichadash never said that. Prichadash never said it. Am I right? I mean, I don't think it's anybody that he died. This being the case, Reb Moshe, the stipler in Kilas Yaakov in Simon Chav Sivkot and Beis has a loop shot. A loop shot like this. Very nice, but I like the shot very much. He quotes the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in a different area of Halacha, but it relates to us directly. We know that a cotton is a lav bardas. Right? On a level of the rice, a cotton is a lav bardas. What does that mean? He can't do anything. Whatever requires das, he can't do. And these are two different things. So he can't do anything. Whatever requires das, he can't do. Why did I use these two phrases? Because I'm obviously leading to a point over here. What if it does not require das? If I can find you, you say, when you can go find me. If I can find you something, a level of deraisa, which does not require das, can a cotton do it or can't do it? I repeat. If I can find you something, a level of deraisa, which does not require das, can the cotton do it or not do it? So it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos is the staple. What's the case? Yibum. Yibum. You know, yibum is if the guy falls off a roof, doesn't know what he's doing. It's a mice of beer. It's a 9-year-old can have a mice of beer, technically speaking. So the Gemara is an expression. Osu bias bentes kemaimer begodol. Yivomis, and the condition of Rashi and Tosfos, if you test them, and I'll discuss what it means. Does it mean a level of the raisa? It's a full yibum, but they said rabbinically not so full. Well, for carrot, a little deraisa is zip zero zilch. But it's a drabbanon that it's something. We'll consider it something, a little drabbanon. What's the machlokes this time? That's this machlokes. That's this fundamental dispute. A cotton underage, not 13 years old, not a bendath al pidin. The act that he's doing does not require das. So what are they fighting about? A fundamental issue. Is he only chesaron by a cotton that he has no das to do what has to be done? Well, no. That the gzeras akasim by cotton is no chalos can happen based on what he's doing. Even if that chalos doesn't even require any das, that's a staple. Oh, that's the machlokas in the Torah and the Rambam. That's the machlokas where a person appointed a shliach and became a cotton. He can't become a cotton. He went to a god. He can't become a cotton. So the close thing is what a shaiter. He became a shaita. So what's it in? According, let's give you the names of who says what. Okay? According to Rashi, a cotton's miyama midoraisa. Says this type. That's the Rambam sheet. The cotton's miyama midoraisa. What does that mean? That the only chisaron midoraisa for a cotton is he has no das. If he only has das, he can work midoraisa. Here too. He already expressed his das. Now he became a shaita. A little deraisa can be done. I, the person, says has no das. He doesn't need. So what? He expressed his das. Elamai al pi alocha, nothing can be chal for him. Not true. Varaya, that a cotton can be miyavim midoraisa. But according to the Torah's Kiddushin, after your test, that a yavim cannot be miyavim midoraisa, even though no das is required. What do you see? A new yisod. Not only is it so that no das can exist by a cotton, but more than that, nothing can be chal on a level of deraisa for a katan. Even yibum, which doesn't require his das, but his yibum on the level of the raisa, is nothing. That's like the Torah says. So if he made a shaliach and became a shaiter, so we say from that point on, nothing can be chal on his behalf. That's a different interpretation. And he brings it off and arrive from Yerushalmi. It's on the Mamet, on the Ran. He turns to the Ran, as to see, he quotes his Yerushalmi. No, everyone has a Ran? Where's the rhyme? I'm a gimel. Where? Yeah, I missed him.
Did you say whether or not these two things have a
No. He's a chalashem gavra, absolute. But The nature of the absolute is, according to Rashi and the Rambam, that you cannot exercise das, no matter how smart you are. That's a definition.
Yeah, but if you say,
let's say, the Lach Moshe Sinai, right?
So you say
that the nature of Lach Moshe Sinai is that anything which requires das, you can't do. But according to the Shita Satur Vatosis, the nature of Lach Moshe Sinai is nothing beside your man. It doesn't require das. Take a look here in the Ran, Rabosai. It's page Lamed Dal, the end of the narrow lines. Look at this, the end of the narrow. He quotes Yerushalmi Halacha Aleph. Yerushalmi Halacha Aleph. Look what it says. Asinim Yerushalmi Halacha Aleph. Nusan Lo Azgita. V'yom Alo Yehei Get Ela Lamocha. V'nasa Kudaikis. A Get Lachasman. And in the end, it becomes a kudaikis. Look to the Rosh Lachis, Rabbi Yochanan. Klomar, to the Rabbi Yochanan, Tzorach, Shehem, Bidata, Bisho, Shehaget, Gomer. End quote. Sok, the Helig, Stipler. If the Tzos is right, that what's special and unique about our case of Osir Kudaikis is that he had appointed someone in his stead, and that's what's special, and that's why it's only Medir Rabbanah. And that's why it may work in some cases. Then the Rishama has no business making a comparison to a case in which he did not appoint someone special. He did not appoint a shaliach in his stead. He said it should be called tomorrow, and it became a shaykh in the interim. No comparison. Why no comparison? In one case, he put someone in his stead, and therefore he's out of the picture, he doesn't have to be there. In the other case, there's no one else in his stead, so therefore it should certainly be no good. But according to the understanding of the stipler, says the stipler, it's gewaldig. He must say so himself. His pshat is gewaldig of the Yerushalmi. Why? Look what he says. Rabosai. Why? What's a machlekas, Rabosai? If a maisa can be chal for an Eino Ben Das, when you don't need his Das. Right? When you don't need his Das. What does that mean? So over here, if I do an action, I put in a time delay. He gives a get to be chal tomorrow. Do you need his Das tomorrow? No. He did it already. He put in a time delay. I raised the get liacha shloshim yom. Put in a time delay. Don't need his Das anymore. It goes by itself. Autopilot. So if he becomes a shaita within that moment, and the get's on autopilot, so the question is, can the get be chal on behalf of a person who put on autopilot? Yes or no? Not so simple. Yes or no? Says the Yerushalmi, I have another case where that happened. What's that? He made a shliach and he became a shaita. Same thing. Autopilot. Hatzad HaShavish, if it goes on autopilot, he's a shaita. Is it good or no good? He doesn't go into that intricacy. Okay, you can say that. Why? Shliach has to know what he's doing. Well, he does it, that's for sure. This is what he says, a very nice pshat. The quote of the Prichodesh and the Ktzos is very schwer. What's the comparison? This is so not an original from the staff, he quotes from earlier Gedolim, from their Or Sameach in Perek Beis, it's right over here. Or Sameach Perek Beis in the Chizgerishin. And Rav Chaim Oizer in Simon Chav Ches. Interesting. So I would say, if you have all the in the Prichosh, I have only one way out. What's the way out? Yes? Not the same. I'll give it a simpler answer. The Babi argues on the Yerushalmi. Shine. It's been known to happen before. It's been known to happen before. As a matter of fact, there is a machlokas bavli in Yerushalmi. In our sugya. What do you mean in our sugya? Our sugya is kodaikas is not really a shaita. Kodaikas is sami abiyodon. That's our Yerushalmi's version. That's the bavli's version. The Yerushalmi says, no, kodaikas is shota gavur. It's a whole different approach to the sugya. There are some Sameach points this out. In Hilchas Zechiah, Perek Yud Bez Alecha Tetzvav. We already know there's a machlokas bavli in Yerushalmi. Are we talking about shota gomer or not? There'll be another machlokas bavli in Yerushalmi as well. Bali achas man. The Ktzos will say But the achas man, it'll certainly be no good because there's no shliach. I really want to talk about my other inyana now, so I'm going to stop. I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle of this. Mr. Shem, I'd like to finish this inyana on Sunday. But I want to take time out now to spend some time on some important issues. All the mice. That ever this year should know that Git was purely abstract. Nothing to do with any personal life in anyone in this room. But to assure that, spend some time, that Git should remain an abstraction. We have to discuss some of the things, how a marriage stays together. Okay? So to do that, I want to take out a beautiful sefer here called The River, the Kettle, and the Bird. I'm Meir Dika Sefer. I'm going to take attendance for a second. Just give me a minute. I have my sheet here. I have it. Oh. It's a book by Rabbi Aaron Feldman. Rabbi Feldman is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He lives in Yerushalayim. And he also has a very wonderful pen. He's the brother of Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, who is the editor of Tradition. He's written a Tradition recently about feminism. And he wrote a recent letter to the I got two things, I don't know which one I saw it in. I think it was the Jewish Week, if I'm not mistaken. I think so. In which he said he was misquoted concerning his opinion regarding the poskot. He's unequivocally opposed to the poskot. And when he said in his original interview that women who are capable can, in fact, give rulings, so what did he mean? He said that only meant, in a particular instance, but not on a more widespread level. He explained his position. So he's a man after my own heart, and but the truth is I've been saying and using his statement long before his attacks on feminism. So you can't accuse me of just picking him up just because of this. Congruence of opinions on this matter. I've been using this sefer for many years already. I think it's the first sefer I ever used to teach these inyanim, and the sefer is already now about 12, or almost 13 years old. So I've been using it for quite a while. And he gives about the name of his book, River, Kettle, and Bird, quotes in the Vilna Gaon's Pshat and the Gemara Masechta Brachos, and he explains three different kinds of peace. The first is an absence of conflict, right? At the negative sense. That's a river. A river just means it is, you know, it connects two cities, but there's no real connection beyond that. The second of Madrega of Shalom is that people have a common goal, which neither could achieve by himself, right? People build buildings together, and corporations make monopolies, like, and nations join a mutual defense pact. Okay, this is similar by the kettle. What is a kettle? A kettle is fire and water. You can't make hot water with fire only, with water only. Together you can make hot water. The third is the bird. What's the bird? The bird is incredible. The bird can survive on earth and can also fly into the heavens. These are one organism which can do these two things. Okay, so this is the embodiment of a peace where two natures and two entities have merged into one unit, which is the 50 states of the United States. One unit. In a marriage, you need all three. It's simple, they shouldn't throw pots and pans at each other. It's a river. Don't laugh. I'm not kidding. I've had phone calls from people who say, I don't know, I have pots and pans flying. I'm talking about 1999. I'm talking about some ancient era. The pots and pans flying, there's yelling and screaming in the house. I live in an apartment house. The people, walls have ears. And I guess if you scream loud enough, I mean, you know, people hear. I've got the phone calls. What do I do? Do I intervene, huh? Based upon screaming, yelling, and pattern from, I guess, flying pots, I don't know. So a river, so Baruch Hashem, they're not yelling, they're not screaming, they're not throwing pots. Okay. Okay, that's a river. A kettle means that you do things you couldn't do by yourself. Obviously, you can't have children by yourself, right? You can't have maybe take care of children to make a living. It's hard for one person to do. You need a mutual dependency. Okay? So they're able to do these things but together. But the problem is, if the extent of their relationship is limited by what's functional, then they together can do things they can't do by themselves, as soon as it stops, the marriage loses its glue. This is the famous, what we call, empty nest divorce syndrome. Rachmana litzlan. It just hit us, I'm talking about the Orthodox, like a ton of bricks. I don't know if you're keeping what's going on. People that say, a man is 60 years old, his children are married, out of the house. He and his wife can't get along. Because from now on in, they don't need each other so much. There is physical drives, not as strong as they used to be. The raising of the children is already history. And especially these days when she has her own job, most 60-year-old women have their own jobs, so they have their own financial security. They don't really need each other so much. So, the glue weakens. They get divorced. Rachmana litzlan. Batla ava, batla adava, batla ava, the Mishnah Sefer Yom. Terrible. So therefore, this kind of marriage is no guarantee of bliss on Mea Vastra. Hefa, at Shisha maybe. Maybe Chavish, depends when the kids start moving out. But I've seen it all over the place. So therefore, everyone in this room should attempt to reach the highest level of Shalom, that of the bird. What is the bird? The bird is that there's a deep sense of identity with which each marriage partner feels for the other. That you no longer consider yourself a separate entity. You know? I tell you all the Rabbi Levine's famous story. Rabbi Levine came to a doctor with his wife who had a bad foot. So the doctor says, Ma baya? So he responded, Haregel shelanu koevet. Our foot hurts. Rabbi Levine, shetzadik, that he says, our foot hurts. What kind of doctor does care about? Where? Why? What do I look for? Your foot? Her foot? Our foot hurts. That means when his wife's foot hurts, it hurt him because he had no separate and independent identity. He and his wife were one. That's what says the Malachi. That's what it means. There's a bris between the two of them. So you have to first have the river, then the kettle, and then the bird. That's how you have to go. In that order. Okay. So he has here a statistic from 12 years ago when it was written, almost 13, that the average divorce rate is nearly 50%. What is it now? I went up, I went down again, I think. I think it went up higher, I went down again. I think now it's coming down, I think, in America. No? But it's over 50%, I think. No? What is it? Huh? Over 50%. Never. Although the figure is appreciably lower among Torah observant Jews, they are not immune to this trend. According to reliable estimates, the divorce rate of Orthodox couples in the U.S. has tripled in the last 20 years. And this is written 13 years ago. Tripled. That means 33 years ago, there were very few. I remember when I moved to Kew Gardens, you have things in your head. I moved in 1958. I have to know when you're talking about a little over 40 years ago. I remember there was a big shul. Huge shul, the whispers about one divorced couple. That was it. So, in my memory, divorce is almost unheard of. Now, if you want to go to Camp Marasha and fill out a form, so one of the questions on the form is, have your father, mother, are your parents divorced? It's on the form. Why is it on the form? It became so common, they got such sorrows with, different orders of fathers and mothers, and they got caught in the middle. And it's crazy that they popped the question. All I have asked the boss, whenever I say the answer yes, I start to cry. I can't help it. It's been so many years. I still cry. I'm crying. The Mizbeach is more loved than most. I'm also crying. I'm not the Mizbeach. I'm not that holy, but I have the same emotion. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing. It's such a common thing. And how many children there are who are affected by broken marriages. Terrible thing. Terrible thing. Oy. So why is it so? Why is it so? There's a physical basis of marriage. Everyone knows there's a physical drive to bring men towards women and vice versa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted this into the human race, as did even for the animals for that matter, to guarantee procreation. Not for that urge, which is built into a human being, there'll be no more human beings. It's a big problem. This Yetzer Hara, if not channeled properly, can lead to disastrous consequences. Certainly outside the context of marriage, as we know all too well. Even within a marriage, if a person views a spouse as simply someone who's affording him or her physical pleasure, so you run into a problem. What if the need for the pleasure no longer is so strong? What if the pleasure is not given so strongly because someone gets sick or something? Who knows what? So it's like a business deal. Not a good deal anymore. You're not getting anything, so you ditch it. We mentioned this already last week. Rather, a person, especially a man, speaking to men here, should understand that from this perspective, the Torah phrases it upon the man as an obligation. She'eira k'susa v'onasa lo yigra. Doesn't say what you get, it's what you give. So you have an obligation to give a certain amount of satisfaction to a wife in the monetary area and in the physical area. So it should be viewed as an obligation. And in that sense, it should be viewed like all aspects of marriage that I told you already before. It should be something which you are trying to give to someone, not to take for yourself. That's the critical part of marriage. And of course, it goes beyond. Goes beyond. Marriage is giving to a woman, from a man's perspective, all areas, everything. Everything. Not just a matter of physical. It's a matter of financial. We spoke before, we'll come to it again, about the terrible problem of money, which sometimes gets in the way of marriages. And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, and you can quote me on it. My view of the Torah prescribed marriage is very simple with respect to money. Very simple. He earns it, and she spends it. That's all. It's an exuba. The exuba is you're going to work for a living. Despite all your friends who are kolniks and she's making a living, that's it's an aberration. You are required to make the money, and she, as the one who's running the household, is the one who's supposed to spend the money. Well, in the case, she should certainly consult you, but primarily, by and large, she's spending it. Not like chas v'shalom. I know someone, believe it or not, in today's world, a very wealthy individual who holds his wife on a short leash. He operates, controls the purse strings. So if she doesn't do what he likes, he says, okay, no check or no money. So the kids start to starve, he's a scurvy. That's crazy. Crazy behavior. The sugar. What kind of marriage is this? Control. There are many men who want to control, being controlled in the situation. It's a disaster. If the man wants to control his wife completely, it's a recipe for absolute disaster, and ultimately it often leads to divorce. I'm telling you from experience, I've seen it. Is this controlling desire, control. And I have to be frank with you, the people who behave this way, in all likelihood, they had a good role model. Probably got it from their fathers. A generation ago, this idea of control was something which, I don't think it was right even then. Don't misunderstand me. Was something which is more, quote-unquote, acceptable. There were many more women who looked, they knew what their role was in those famous 50s, right, or before. And, the husbands ran the show, and the wives were loyal, and they did what had to be done, and But they understood that the husband was in full control. Now, it's not so fashionable anymore. And even then, we know who really, really came down to it. But a person has to recognize that this is still, it never was right, and certainly will not fly today. And there's no reason for it. Who are you? A chutzpah you have? To be have control? Tell you what to do and what to this? What are you talking about? Now, it's true that a husband has to give guidance. This also sounds crazy in today's world. To his wife. But I'm telling you, I'm saying what I say no matter what. This is what I believe. That the Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishus, "Yeh beinel kimosaro melech," that the woman should look up to her husband as a prince or as a king. Those are his words. Doesn't mean someone who's going to have a dictatorship, but a woman by her nature looks to her husband for spiritual guidance, and if he doesn't provide it, it's bad. It's bad. Leaves a vacuum, a hole, an emptiness. It's no good. Guidance should definitely be provided. And when Israel was a Ben Torah, Baruch Hashem, and you were learning from Rabbeim for many years, and you've accumulated a certain reservoir of Torah Hashkafa, so you have to be a guide. If there's an issue which is complex, you go back to your Rabbeim, your Rabbanim, your Sheshivas, and you consult with them. And often the wife is brought in as part of the consult. But there has to be a certain measure of leadership. Leadership. So therefore, the basic point of marriage is to care for the other. To care for the other. That's the soul of all marriage. You should try your best. You should try your best to help out the spouse. That's all. And therefore, the physical is only one aspect. By itself, it could be terrible. The physical is a manifestation of the emotional. So it should be. There's a strong emotional attachment between husband and wife, and the physical intimacy between them is a manifestation, is a reflection of this close emotional attachment. That's how it has to be viewed, and that's how it has to be. Otherwise, Rachmana Litzlan is a disaster. Disaster. This being the case, we talk about choosing a mate, which was last week's shiur. So Rabbi Feldman here talks, as we did last week, to watch out for the idea of Hollywood. Very careful. Very careful. You have to look at a woman, speaking to men now, and ask the following questions. He gives examples. Is she pleasant to be with? Is she considerate? Is she self-centered? Does she have a temper? Does she enjoy taunting people rather than helping them? Yeah, these are important questions. These are the key questions. And if we call the midos, the character traits are right, it's right. If not, not. So there are men who marry for beauty, they marry for the impression. How will she measure up to my friend's wife? How will she carry herself? Or, let's be frank, money. People marry for money. Yeah. It was an expression in Masechta Kiddushin. The children don't turn out right. Even if he marries a woman whose yichus is questionable, or even if she's perfect yichus, a very serious issue. I say it's a big problem in any event. So we have to try to have a marriage which is right. The first step, since most people are still single, the first step is to make a proper choice of a marriage partner. This requires very careful thought. And we don't jump into these things in a hurry. Everybody can see them, they're such malachim, they're such at a high level, that they can afford to make a decision in a week, and that sticks. Baruch Hashem, usually it does. Well, the Rav Moshe Bick, Zichrono Levracha, who learned this yeshiva many years ago and became a very distinguished rabbi in Borough Park, wrote an article in the Allgemeine Journal many years ago that he says, I declare, in my opinion, based on what I see, that no couple should get married until they go out on 8 dates. 8. So Satan the Rebbe quoted a pasuk in this week's parsha. We have to talk about the parsha a little bit. The pasuk says, "Katzti b'chayai mipnei benos ches." So the Rebbe said, "Ches. I can't stand this. Benos ches. 8 dates before they become engaged. That's ridiculous. Benos ches." So the Rebbe Shabbik responded as follows: "Ooh, sakmaruv, a groyser mesad kedushin. Big mesad kedushin." Of the ich, he said, I never been a Masada Gittin. I know what I'm talking about. The Rebbe goes by this Masada Kedushin, yeah, it's great. And I'm telling you that they don't go out 8 times, Chalila Chachas, we need to do again. So, today there's a new style, the Yeshiva, she's Chassidim, they don't go out 8 times, they meet in a week, 3-4 dates, Gevalt. I'm not here to question them. If it works for them, it works. And I must tell you, what I've seen, it usually does work. It reflects, it's very complimentary. It reflects a certain level of maturity, a certain level of pre-selection, that the parents are very involved and they pre-select what they think is appropriate. And if it can work, a tremendous percentage of these people, they hit a home run in the first pitch. First pitch, home run. Because it's a pre-selected first pitch. Not just it's in the strike zone. The pitch is in the strike zone. So you don't run, okay? So it's what? In our world, where boys are out on dates without this pre-selection, I mean, the first pitch could be by the ankles or by the head. So people hit a home run enough too, but it's very much more difficult. So if it works again, if this system works, but also works for the people in this room, I don't advocate it. I've often said that, in my view, a person should have approximately 3 months of dating before he decides to make the final and the most important decision of his life. I'm talking about dating on a better once a week basis. So it's up to 12 dates. A bigger math than very big. 12 dates. And, once we're on the topic, the engagement should also be pretty short. I think it has a similar period of engagement of 12 weeks. That's 3 months is also appropriate. Again, it can't not etched in stone. Too long is all kinds of it's a horrors and problems. Too short is like you're rushing. Again, approximations. These are critical to our thought processes. We start thinking about this challenge in life, which many in the room are involved in or going to become involved in soon. Yeah, let's give a think about it, diving about it. Give a general background. Mitzvah Hashem, next week, believe that if we have time, I want to talk about something called, quote, fantasy and reality in married life. Very important topic. So, Dabba Mincha, those are the same.